Teens, you can go ahead and go. Does anybody need an outline for tonight in here? Everybody got one that needs one? Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. We're closing out the chapter tonight. And so you say, where are we going when we're done with this? In 2 weeks, you will know right where we're going. And so, well, it'll be good wherever we go, right? Because the Bible, so you can't go wrong with that. So, this thing with having all the kids in here, we're going to do Song of Solomon this coming. No, that we're not going to do that one. Just kidding. Some of you gave me a look like, I just had someone asking me a couple weeks ago about Song of Solomon, some questions about it. I'm like, sometime I'll teach through that one. I don't know that I'm going to do it on a Wednesday night when all the young kids are in the room, though. So we'll save Song of Solomon for a marriage retreat or something like that. That'd be a good time for that one. Acts 28. Acts 28. We're going to look at the whole chapter tonight. I would hope that you've done more Bible reading this week up to this point than what you're going to read tonight. But if you haven't, this is a good way to get it boosted, get your numbers boosted for the week, and see some things from the Word of God tonight. So we'll read the whole chapter. Then we'll go back and get some thoughts from the chapter tonight and close out Acts 28. If you remember last week, we get to the point to where the shipwreck is happening. And remember the people, some of the people try to get on the little boats and leave. And Paul says, you do that, you're not going to survive. There's 276 of them on the boat. And at the end there, some of them could swim to shore. The others that weren't great swimmers grabbed pieces of wood and floated to shore. But they made it there, and we look at chapter 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Now, something that's interesting, for us, we could figure things out. You just pull out your cell phone and be like, oh, this is what this is, and different things. It was way different in those days for them to realize what anything was. They figured out that they were in Melita, and Melita, however you want to say it there. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Now you see, barbarous, barbarian, you know, you think of movies and things like that. I know that's what people think of when they hear barbarian. If you couldn't speak Greek, they called you a barbarian. So these people didn't speak Greek. That's all that that means right there. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. It's winter time. It's cold. Been in the water, you're going to be really cold, so they made a fire for them. That's very nice. And it says that, and Paul, you think about this, Paul literally kept everyone together on that boat. He literally, I told you last week, he said, we're going to make it, everything's going to be just fine. And he sat down and he told them, you need to eat, you've been taking all this time, you haven't eaten. He sits down, he just starts eating, relaxing in the middle of the boat going down. Why? Because he trusted the Lord. And in all reality, everyone owed Paul gratitude for this. He literally probably could have became their king on this island after all they had done. But I love seeing that right away as Paul is there on the island, he literally is serving. Because a true leader, a true Christian, is a servant. So, well, why? That, isn't that who Jesus was? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Paul serves, and what does he do here? It says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. I can't imagine what that must have felt like. And you go through all that he's been through already, and you know, sometimes you ever feel like you want to quit. And I don't know where Paul was in the midst of all this, but now you're just trying to be nice and help, and you're grabbing a bundle of sticks, and literally a viper gets you. That's not pleasant. And within a little bit of time, a viper biting you, it's one of those things, it might take a little bit of time for you to die, but your insides, you start internally bleeding, and it's very bad and painful, and it's an awful thing. So he gets bit by this viper. And it says in verse number 4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man's a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. He had it coming, and he made it through the sea, but now justice is going to have its way with this guy here. They didn't know anything about him. Now, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, and some of my favorite topical messages I've ever heard preaching, come from verse 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And I love people will just take that and say, just shake it off. The devil's attacks, just shake them off. That's a good truth. He did. I don't know. I just think of that viper just sitting in there. And he just, I would be screaming and, Caroline, help me do something. And, you know, and what's Paul do? He just shakes it off. That's what he does. And so verse 6 says, how be it? So those people that just said, wow, this guy must have been pretty bad. He had coming. Look at their response now in verse 6. How be it they looked when he should have swollen or fallen dead suddenly. But after they looked a great while, you know, they kept, I just picture it. They're like, this guy's got it coming. So they're like, well, he's still alive. Is he swelling yet? He's still moving around. He's still doing his thing. They weren't expecting that. And look what it says here. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Isn't it how public perception of things really means nothing? One minute he must have been a murderer that did this awful thing and justice is getting even with him. And the next minute he lived through it, he's a god. It's the way the world works. Verse 7 says, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And when this was done, others also which had disease in the island came and were healed. Just amazing to me that Paul just kept serving and doing what he always did. He just kept going and kept doing what he's supposed to do. It says, verse 10, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Because you realize they lost everything on the shipwreck. And now God provided what they needed for the rest of the trip. Verse 11 says, and after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. That was the name of the boat there, and I'll explain that to you in a little bit what that means. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days, and from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regem. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Paleo, something like that, Paloli, something, I don't know, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, who when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. You know what that shows me? Now, something that's interesting. We would just get online today and say, so-and-so's passing through. How did they know that Paul was passing through? They couldn't call anybody anyplace else. Did they travel from where Paul was at one point to go that way? I don't know. But it's not like, you know, today we just make a phone call or someone's on Facebook and we know what's going on. It didn't work that way. But they knew where Paul was going to be. But I love what it says here, and we'll talk more about it in just a little bit, but I love where it says that when these brethren met them and they were there, it helped Paul. He thanked God, he took courage. That's what Christians should do for one another. Cause us to edify one another, build each other up, and be thankful and take courage to keep moving forward for God. That's what should happen. And that's what happened for Paul here. And when we came to Rome, it says in verse 16, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guards, but Paul was suffered to dwell by him with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. So there were Jews in Rome. You notice that when he, in the book of Romans, he talks about this even more and goes into more detail about these things. It says, and when they were come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or custom of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Talking about Jesus and Christianity. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. He is preaching every day, all day long. And what happens? Some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. It's interesting to me that the book doesn't close out with telling us how Paul died, or that he was rearrested at a later time, but it just says Paul just kept doing what he always did. From the very beginning of the book of Acts, where the church, where Jesus is with his disciples, and he tells them to wait for the Spirit of God, and we see the church take off and explode, and we see the great work that takes place throughout the book of Acts. We see to the very end, it continues. And 2,000 years later, it's still continuing to this day, the church is. But as we close out the book, I want you to see a few last thoughts about Paul here, and I'll try to tie some things up and give you some thoughts about this passage tonight. But we see the fact that Paul finally gets to Rome. Father, bless the next few minutes that we have tonight, and you're awesome. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the fact that we can study the scriptures and learn more about your people and those that have gone before us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight and guide us tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we dive in tonight, we see number one, we see Paul's ministry at Malta or Melita, same place. And when we look at this, the name Malta literally means refuge. And for Paul and the 276 people on this boat, it was a place of refuge. I would never want to be on a boat again. If I were Paul third time, never, I wouldn't have gone on a second time. One shipwreck, that's enough for a lifetime right there. To stay on land the rest of the time. But 3 shipwrecks, all 276 of them made it there. And then the people of that place literally tried to help them. And they encouraged them, and they reached out, and they showed kindness to them. It's amazing what a little kindness can do to people. And so we see there was kindness there. And as I mentioned to you a few minutes ago, that the Greeks, literally, if you couldn't speak Greek, you were a barbarian. So all of us in this room, anybody speak fluent Greek tonight? You barbarians. That's all of us in this room tonight. So you're a barbarian, according to the Greeks in that day. And so the storm was gone. It's wintertime. It's cold. And so they built a fire. And after you think about this. They do this for the people. They show this kindness. And I love the fact that we see Paul get up, and he's helping keep the fire going. You need wood, right, and things to keep a fire going. And Paul is literally just helping and going on. Paul could have requested everyone to serve him. I told you what was going to happen. We all got here, like I said. But he's up there serving, doing what he should do, and what a blessing that is. And It's just a reminder of the fact, as we see Paul over and over again, he just served and served and served. There are so many Christians out there that want everybody to serve them and make them happy. And the Christian life is not about you and me. The Christian life is about Jesus. The Christian life is about service. That's what it is. That's why I mentioned a little bit ago, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But the scriptures say he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, what did he do? He humbled himself. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, humbled himself. He was a servant. There was a rainy day back in Chicago, and several years back when Bridget was a little girl. And a man accompanied two women that were arriving at Northfield and hoping to enroll their daughter in D.L. Moody's school that he had for young women. The three needed help getting their luggage from the railway depot to the hotel. So the visitors drafted a rather common-looking man with a horse and wagon, assuming he was a local cabbie. That's what they had for cabs back in the day, you know? And so the cabbie said he was waiting for students, but the visitors ordered him to take them to the hotel. The visitors were shocked when the cabbie didn't charge them and even carried their bags and did whatever they needed. And they were shocked to find out when they got to the school later on that the man who was doing the cabbie, it was D.L. Moody himself. They didn't expect that to be that way. He's a servant. God's people should be known as servants. And if you are called a Christian, you should be a servant, because that's what Jesus was. Now, we see the fact that that viper bites Paul. Say, well, why? You know, people ask, did the Lord do that? Did the devil do that? I think the devil wanted to get rid of Paul. You know, by this point, a lot of Paul's books, epistles, were not written yet. And I think Satan wanted to get rid of him. So have him die on a boat. Don't you see all throughout the way all that was trying to happen to him? The Jews try to kill him. Everyone's after him and wants to kill him. He gets shipwrecked again, and now a viper bites him. But he just kept on going. It didn't stop him along the way. And that's how it should be in the Christian life. You're going to take blows. There's going to be times that hard times come, but you must shake them off and keep moving forward and do what the Lord has for you. The storm didn't drown him. All these things, the viper couldn't stop him. And may I just remind you, in the Christian life, the devil's out there, and he wants to take you down. He doesn't want you serving God. He doesn't want you doing what's right, and he will do things. And the Bible tells us, you think about it, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 3, it says, "But I fear lest by any means of the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." And the devil's out there. He beguiled Eve. He can do it to anyone. He's subtle. That's why the Bible says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I really think that the devil did not want Paul to do anything else for God, and he was going to do all that he could to stop him. And yet he couldn't stop Paul. But I wonder, he throws a little thing into your life or something happens, is he going to stop you? Shouldn't be that way, and we don't want it to be that way. We need to keep our minds, and we need to keep watching and be sober, be vigilant, and keep moving forward for the Lord. The Bible tells us here that Paul and his company remained there 3 months. They basically waited the winter out is what they did. And along the way, they had gifts that were... And Paul did a lot during that time. He's healing people. And, you know, we look at verse number 10. It says when they departed, they were given the things that they needed to get by. Why do you think they were given the things that they were given? Paul healed the people and helped them. So they were just responding to that, and they had all the things they needed to continue on with the trip. And the Bible doesn't tell us much through those 3 months. Did Paul witness? My opinion, he witnessed everywhere else. Why wouldn't he have witnessed the 3 months he was here during this time? I'm sure he witnessed. That's all Paul ever did. And that's a great reminder for us. When is the last time you shared the gospel with anyone? That's all Paul did. Later on, we'll talk about the end of the chapter. He's literally in the house for 2 years having people come in from sun up till sundown. He's preaching all day long. When's the last time you told someone about the Lord? We need to tell people about the Lord. We see, number one, Paul's ministry there. But number two, we also see Paul's arrival at Rome. We see that from verse 11 to verse number 16. We don't know if all 276 people that were on the boat to begin with stayed and kept going, or if it was just the prisoners or whoever it was. And we notice that Luke here identifies the boat that they're on. You see the name there, the Castor and Pollux. And those were the names in Greek mythology. Those are the two sons of Zeus. And their main thing that they did, they were revered because they were protectors of the sea. So that would be a good boat to be on, right? If you believe that stuff. And I wouldn't believe that stuff if I were you. But that's where the name comes from. And they had the ultimate protector in the Lord because Paul was on there. And there were many Roman ships that would bear names like this and have, just like people name ships today and things like that. And they thought it helped with safety and all these different things. Isn't it amazing what people look at Christianity and say it's so hard to believe, but people will put a stupid name of Zeus's sons on a boat and think that it's going to protect them and what they do. That's stupid to me. It doesn't get any more ridiculous than that. But that's what the world does, right? Man, how much there's proof, and we know that Jesus lived, died, and rose again. That's easy to believe to me, than that Zeus's sons are going to protect me when I get on a boat. But anyways, I just don't get it. I don't get how this world does the things that it does. They had quite a ways to go on the boat, several hundred miles. And Paul, as they're going, as we see as he's arriving at Rome, we see the fact that they found brethren along the way. And when it's talking about brethren there, it's referring to other Christians. And did Paul have a company that followed him all the way along as he went? I don't know what the case may be. But somehow they found out that Paul was coming. And Julius, the guy that was running the boat and things, they took the route, the Appian Way, and it was about a 125-mile trip to get to Rome going that way. And the Forum of Appii there, that's about 43 miles from Rome. And then you have the three taverns there, that's about 10 miles to the city. So as they were getting closer. And it's interesting to note that as we read here, that all along the way, the closer they got, the Lord had people there that encouraged Paul along the way. And after all Paul's been through, and now he's going to stand in Rome to stand against whatever's coming his way. I love the fact that Paul, as he went, he saw them, and he thanked God, and he took courage. And my mind goes back to Jerusalem. Remember when Paul got to Jerusalem? Does the Bible tell us that he took courage and he thanked God? No. Paul, we heard some reports that you're not following the legal things in the Old Testament circumcision things, that you don't follow that stuff anymore. You need to go into the temple the next several days and purify yourself and take these other men with you and do it this way. And that was the remarks he got. And doesn't that just sound like Christianity today? Unless you do everything just like I do, or unless you do this, or unless you do that, I'm not going to be your friend. And yet, if we're all saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in heaven together, and you cannot encourage and help and be nice to people. Everyone teams up against Christianity, but Christians stab each other in the back when they turn the other way. It makes no sense to me. And the church at Jerusalem should have been differently with Paul, in my opinion. And yet I'm thankful for Paul along the way that there were some brethren that were there. And what did they do for him? What could they do? Look what it says there. It says they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum. As they went through, they were there. How much of a conversation did they get? Anything else? Sometimes the best thing a friend can do is just be there for their friends. Like Job's friends, The best thing they could have done was just keep their mouth shut and just been there with Job. They ruined it when they opened up their mouths. A friend should just be there. I was talking to someone earlier today, and they were talking about our friendship, and they're like, I feel like I owe you everything. You're always there for me. I said, you owe me nothing. That's what friends do. Friends are there for each other. When you need me, I'm there. When I need you, you're there. That's what friends do. Paul took courage and he thanked God, and that's a good thing. And so we see all this, and then we see number three, we see Paul's ministry at Rome. Man, he just keeps going. He keeps going, 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 and he never stops. He just keeps witnessing, sharing, and doing all those things. And a great reminder, too, you got one life to live. You got one opportunity to serve the Lord with the life that you live. Don't waste it. The Lord deserves our very best, the entire life he's given to us. And serve him, love him, do everything you can for him. We should, but we see there in verse 17 that Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and he talks to them, and he explains to them some things, and they didn't know, they didn't hear much about Paul or what had happened with Paul, but they had heard about Christians. They heard about those of the way, those that followed Jesus. And so they were interested in it just a little bit. You might even be able to say in Romans, like chapter 3 and Romans 14, that kind of they didn't understand everything that Paul told them. And I think I got some verses, Romans 3:8 and Romans 14:1. But Paul was letting them know the reason he was coming was because he appealed to Caesar. And that he was there to help them know and understand what, and he was a prisoner bringing the hope of Israel to them. And this is one of the ways that God got him to Rome, was through this way. The Bible tells us in this passage that on the day appointed, that literally Paul spent morning till evening explaining the scriptures there in Rome, revealing Christ. And how did he do it? Through the law and through the prophets. You know, you could take, that's why the Old Testament is so, the Old Testament, there's so much good stuff in the Old Testament. I know we live in the New Testament day and age, but there's so much good stuff in the Old Testament that point, everything the Old Testament points to Jesus. And you can take the Old Testament and point people to Jesus. And for Paul to do that, of course, there were Jews there. They would know the Old Testament. Of course, that's the best route to take them. And a lot of Paul's, if I was going to give the gospel today, I might, for some people, go to some of the Old Testament stuff, but I'm going to use Paul's epistles. But Paul's epistles weren't ready yet at that time. They were still coming. And so as we look here, we see that he shares the word of God and continues to preach it. And some were persuaded, some were not. Isn't that the way it works? Some people want the message, some people don't. And you even see here that they were arguing about it, some of them, when they left, but Paul just witnessed. And then at the end of it, he says, literally, the Gentiles are going to get, they want it, they're going to get it. Aren't you glad the gospel wasn't just for the Jews? Aren't you glad Jesus just didn't die for some people, but he died for all people? That's why sometimes I hear people talk about that Jesus only died for the elect. That's like saying Jesus only died for the Jews. He didn't. He died for all. What you do with it depends, because that's the thing. God's grace is great enough for everyone. But if you don't receive his grace does nothing for you. His love is big enough to love the entire world. But if you don't receive his love, then his wrath abides on you and his love doesn't do you any good. But his love's available to all and anyone that will come to him. And that's a blessing to see. And as we look, we see, and Paul, if you look there, he talked about the book of Isaiah. He was quoting from Isaiah chapter number 6, verse 9 and 10. And he was referring to, there in verse 26 and 27, referring to the condition of the heart of Israel. And, you know, the Lord did that over and over again. When Jesus was walking on this earth, he talked about their spiritual condition. And he gave parables in Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, and a lot of those passages there. And John did some of the same. And Paul even quoted more in Romans chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. And the thing is, we look at it, it's one thing to listen. It's quite different to hear it. You can see, but do you perceive it? They were hearing it, but they weren't getting it. And they didn't want it. Paul spends 2 years in Rome, the Bible tells us here in verse 30. Do you know what he did during that time while he was in Rome? He penned Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon during that time. He was expecting to be released. And like in Philippians chapter number 1, it talks about it a little bit. Verse 23 through 27. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of joy and of faith, that your rejoicing may be abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. So this was during that time when he was in Rome. He's saying, I'm planning on being released from here. I'm going to come to you again. His plan, he thought he was going to get released. We can see other passages in those books, especially in Philippians. You know, we think about, he's basically under house arrest for those 2 years. That's when he penned words like, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content with a soldier by my side in the house. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, he's under house arrest. I'm at a hotel by the beach, and I've learned to be content. That's good. That's one way to do it, right? But Paul's literally going through a not-so-great time, and he's like, I've learned to be content. And may I just remind you tonight, and I'm not going to go into a completely different message, but the only way someone could go through those trials and yet have joy and have love and have peace in their heart and all those things is what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do inside of each of us through the fruit of the Spirit. That's the only way. And the Bible talks about in John 15, it all ties together. You cannot bear fruit if you're not abiding in Christ. You cannot do it. And if Paul got to the point to where he wasn't abiding in Christ, this fruit would not be evident in his life. And yet all this was done while he was under house arrest, and all these things happened. During this time, Timothy came and saw him. Talks about that in Philippians. He had John Mark there, Luke, Aristarchus, Epaphras, Justice, Demas. They were all there. He met Philemon there. And if you talk about a great passage, the book of Philemon and Onesimus and that whole story there and how that works out. It's interesting to me. The Bible doesn't tell us here how Paul died. It just says he kept preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no man forbidding him. He just kept going and kept preaching and kept preaching. I believe that he got released for a little bit of time. Then the Romans kind of talks about that a little bit more. And he traveled as far, Romans 15, almost to Spain is where he got to before he was arrested again. It was during that time after his release that he probably penned the epistle to Timothy and to Titus and the other books that he had finished up. He left Titus in Crete and Timothy in Ephesus, and he planned to meet some of the helpers in other places and all those things. And then he was arrested again. How, when? We don't have the details. We know he was arrested again, and he spent his final days not in a house but chained to a guard. Timothy talks about that. and all of those things. Demas forsook him. Luke was the only one there with him. And the Lord never left his side the entire time, all that he went through. And then somewhere in 67, 68 AD, tradition tells us that Nero had him beheaded. And the world thought Paul was silenced forever. And yet we're still reading his books today. And there are still people getting saved all the time because of the books that were written while Paul went through hell to do what he did. And yet we can't serve the Lord with as easy as our lives are in America today. Christianity is weak today. There's no guarantee that it's always going to be as easy as it is in America. But the thing I want you to remember is this. Luke didn't write the book of Acts to simply give us a history lesson. He wrote it to encourage the church then and now to keep doing the stuff. Keep witnessing, keep sharing your faith, keep growing, keep doing the things of God. And it's amazing what people can do when they let the Spirit of God get a hold of them and do something through them. And I'm a firm believer that even today, God still wants to do what he did in the book of Acts. And I don't care what year it is or where we are, I believe that's what the Lord wants to do. Paul went on to write those books, and I thank the Lord for all those things. But it wasn't easy along the way, but he did it. Your life might not be easy right now, but I would encourage you. One of the things I believe that helped Paul continue to move forward and do the things they did, he kept his eyes on Jesus, and he kept his eyes on what mattered. And he talked about, remember we talked about it? I kept my eyes on the vision that God had for me. And what the Lord had for him was to preach the gospel and to get the gospel out. And it would do us well to remember what God's called us to do and to live and to do what he would have us do.